Everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zan. I'm joined by my favorite rich in the world, Rich Stambolian.
Hi. Do you know any other Riches? I always get very jealous if somebody's like, oh, have you met my friend Rich? And I'm like, nope, I'm the only one. That's it. You got to make them change their name.
I know a couple Riches. Rich Butler. I know Rich Butler.
Sure.
He's
sure.
A Rich. I don't know many other Riches. Do you know any Andrews? How many Andrews do you know?
The only Andrew I know.
It really bothers me when there's another Andrew, considering, but it's fascinating because it was so popular in the 80s. It was such like an 80s name. Nobody names a kid Andrew anymore.
Andrew.
Nobody does that. And then every now and then, like, I'll run into one, and I'm like, that's not your effing name. That's my name.
Mm-hmm. Do you just call them Drew? Are you like, no, I'm going to call you Drew from now on.
I'm going to call him Andy because I hate Andy.
Andy. Yeah, I know you hate Andy. Why do you hate Andy so much?
Hate Andy.
Tell me why. Different reason?
I just do. I just don't like
it. Are you wearing a Shea Stadium shirt or a Shea Butter shirt?
Shea Butter. I love my Shea Butter. Guys, this is a show all about professional wrestling. We're back this week. This is probably the longest you and I have not seen each other, Rich, in real life.
I'm not complaining.
Probably. You know, I'm not complaining. I can take him or leave him. It's probably... I want to say probably 8 years, right?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, it's been a while since this has been like, and we also, I think, what was it, 2 weeks before WrestleMania that we started doing it this way?
Yeah.
And WrestleMania was like a month ago, which is
and this
pretty
works.
Bananas. It does work. I do miss being in the studio, though.
Yeah.
Don't miss Deegan the intern, but I do miss being in the studio.
He just brought me a tall boy of Budweiser, so.
You gonna crack bad boy open?
I'm gonna crack it open during What the Tech and get drunk and embarrass myself. let's talk about some pro wrestling. I watched AEW. I watched Raw, obviously. Dark Side of the Ring was interesting this week with David Schultz. The slap heard around the world on John Stossel. I want to talk about that a little bit. And obviously, of course, at the end of the show, we're gonna be taking your viewer mailbag questions. If you're watching this on any other platform other than YouTube, go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/mattmenpodcast, and you could go there and submit your question in the chat room. We got a whole bunch of people in the chat today, so this is fun. Where do you want to begin this week? Terrible ratings for Raw?
Well, they're just going to keep going down, aren't they?
Terrible ratings for SmackDown? Oh, you know what? Let's begin with that bizarro SmackDown segment last week.
That Triple H one?
Yeah, I just want to touch on it very quickly because, my God, that was bizarre, right?
It was weird, but it was good at the same time, but it was also weird. I mean, like, the comedic timing between Shawn and Triple H and the phone calls was great, but I'm convinced that Vince doesn't really have great comedic timing. Yeah, you know, man. I think he wanted to come out and do kind of like a Don Rickles, Rodney Dangerfield, I'm breaking my son-in-law's balls kind of thing, but it just sounded like he didn't really know what to say.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it was not good, but it was just bizarre. But the ratings were terrible. The lowest ever on Fox. It's probably the lowest SmackDown rating in years. I can't remember the last time the rating was that low. And Raw is following the same, I guess, trajectory when it comes to the ratings, where they were, 1.6, 1.7 million? I think 1.6 million watched in the last hour. Terrible ratings.
I didn't even watch last hour. You know what I did during the last hour of Raw? I went to my bedroom and I watched Extraction with Chris Hemsworth.
Really?
Yeah, that's it. That's all I did. Like, I was like, you know what? I'm kind of done with this. I like the beginning. I like the Zelina Vega stuff with Andrade and all those dudes. And, you know, they're really emphasizing that youth movement. But after, like around like 9:30, 10 o'clock, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go watch a movie.
Well, let's talk about Jinder Mahal's return, right? Jinder Mahal's return.
I think that's when, right after that, I was like, it's not going to get better than this. And I just went inside.
Yeah. So Jinder's back, which I'm kind of excited for because it looks like they are going to do that feud.
I'm cool with that.
I'm very cool with that. For it makes sense. You know, you want to talk about something that makes sense and you want an easy opponent for the world champion. Because if you ever see how they do this, right, with the world champion, WrestleMania, they win the title and they don't go into like this heated bloodbath with like a major opponent to begin with. They have it like a little bit easy. They build the champion And I think for Jinder to have a program with Drew makes so much sense. Two former world champion that were part of the same team. Jinder looks, I mean, I'm looking at his video. He did slim down a little bit, but he looks phenomenal.
Looks good. Looks good.
He was out. What did he have? He was out with something.
I think he had a broken ankle or I think it was like a leg issue.
Okay. So his traps look phenomenal, but you have this guy, put him up against his former tag partner, both world champions, both got fired. Great trajectory. Great story. I love it. I'm really into that storyline. And you kind of brought this up 2 weeks ago. Not sure if you knew he was returning or not, but it makes the most sense.
Absolutely. Do you think they're going to blow the roof off the place when they start feuding with each other? I think that's going to be a good, arena match.
It's a great arena match. I think this is a great house show match to go around the country with. Unfortunately, there are no house shows right now. So
yeah.
I don't know what the story is going to be, but I don't know. I think if you continue this for the next, I guess, month or so, right? Or make this his Money in the Bank opponent.
Sure. Yeah, I think it'll be fun as long as you know what it is. I think with these two guys, they took care of Jinder very well when he had that initial world title run, right?
Shocking.
They made him look strong. The vignettes were great. The Singh Brothers stuff was great. They made him like a vicious heel and you believed it. You know, I think me and you were like, at first we were immediately on board and then people started catching on. With him and Drew, I think they need to keep them both protected. And if they're going to go forward with it as the main event on these shows, because they can both talk and they can both work, right? And they both look great at this point. You think Vince wants Heath Slater to come back like all friggin' jizzly jacked?
I think Heath Slater's come back as an android. He's just going to be a robot, half robot, half man at this point.
In a robot suit?
I wonder if that's what Heath Slater's thinking. He's like, listen, this is my chance, right? Like, okay, we saw what Drew did. We saw what Jinder did. I'm just going to go and gas the fuck up and just freaking get jacked and ridiculous looking and make a comeback with a whole new look.
Jacked to the gills.
Jacked to the gills.
Imagine, can somebody Photoshop like a really jacked Heath Slater? I think that'd be hysterical.
What did Heath Slater look like in like his peak? Because he's like, he kind of has a mush body, right?
I don't think he's peaked. I think maybe the tag championship with Rhino, because they were the first SmackDown tag champs.
I'm saying body-wise, though.
I think body-wise, yeah. That was it. But I feel like if that dude puts the work in like all these other guys did, man, forget it. Like, he's going to be like real jacked.
I don't remember. He came from Nexus, right? Wasn't he part of that Nexus storyline? Is that what he came from?
Yeah, it was Nexus, and then I want to say he was part of the core, right?
Oh, yeah. Dude, that whole Nexus core feud is such a tiny thing in my head at this point. I feel like I missed out on something, and then I just don't know. This was what year? 2011, 2012, the Nexus core thing, or 2010?
Well, 2011 was the end of Nexus because Punk pretty much
stopped doing it,
right? And then I think 2012 was core.
Ugh. And then they feuded.
I'm not 100%. Yeah, and then they feuded. But I feel like a lot of those guys, like if you look at, we should do an episode dedicated to the core and like all the guys that came at the Nexus, I'm sorry, and all the guys that kind of came out of it, right? Because you're one dude that really made it and is still around is Daniel Bryan, and they fired him.
He got fired immediately. Yeah. So if you look at this,
and he got brought back. Right.
All
right.
Here was the members of Nexus. You ready for this? Wade Barrett was the leader, and it was so
awesome.
By the way, it debuted, I believe, June 7, 2010.
Okay,
that was
Nexus.
The debut. That is the debut of Nexus. It was Wade Barrett, Daniel Bryan, Darren Young, Skip Sheffield, which is
Ryback,
Michael Trevor. Who is Michael Trevor? Michael Trevor is Tyrone Evans. He wrestled for he's this guy's done nothing.
I had high hopes for him because he had a cool look. He had like the bandana over his face.
Dude. He's 43 years old. Jeez. So in 10 years, the whole career.
Was it Michael Tarver?
Tarver. Yeah, Michael Tarver, yeah. Not Michael Trevor. Michael Tarver.
I like how you're reading it and you can't read it.
No, you know what it was? It went by his actual name, Tyrone Evans, and I kind of remembered Michael Trevor, but let me see who else is here.
Michael Tarver.
Justin Gabriel, which we know
you
that
your contacts?
I am, yeah. I just can't read. I told you.
Did your doctor tell you when you put your contacts in to punch yourself in the eyes?
He tells me not afterwards? To put my contacts in, and I'll probably do better if I don't have it in. David Justin Otunga. David Otunga.
He's still with the company.
Dude, the guy's still there. And then you had John Cena, but that was bullshit. That was a whole thing. Husky
Punk
Harris, Michael McGillicuddy, CM Punk, and Mason Ryan. Mason Ryan. I have no idea how this guy did not work out in this company.
Dude, a weird story, right?
Had the look. Mm-hmm. Just he was bad. He was terrible in the ring, but the guy had the freaking look. He was gigantic. And he did nothing. That was it.
I feel like the Nexus. I think when Vince looked at, and this is speculation purely from what we know about Vince McMahon, right? I think when Vince looked at the Nexus, he handpicked his guys that he thought were going to be main eventers, right?
Yeah.
Like your Ryback, like just anybody with muscles, right? And then I think like he hopes for the best, right? Isn't that like the Vince McMahon credo? Like if he's got muscles, let's hope for the best.
So who's in the core?
I think that was Wade Barrett, Justin Gabriel, Heath Slater,
Ezekiel Jackson.
Ezekiel Jackson?
Yeah, that was
it. And I want to say...
I think that was it.
Michael McGillicuddy.
Yeah, it was Ezekiel Jackson, Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, and Wade Barrett. Ezekiel Jackson, people don't remember. Didn't he win the IC title? He won some titles. And he was the ECW. He was the final ECW champion.
Was he?
Yes. Ezekiel Jackson was the final ECW champion, and he was the WWE Intercontinental Champion. What a bizarre! And this is, by the way, this is the thing. I don't think anybody has memory of any of this. Like this is just like a little blip on our minds, and that's it.
Yeah,
it just shows you how unimportant that era was until CM Punk did the pipe bomb and everything changed. It kind of put everything back.
I think he made everybody forget about everything.
How terrible everything was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
but he did. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but Ezekiel Jackson did have, I think, arguably a better career in Lucha Underground.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was there.
Because he was Big Rick in Lucha Underground.
Yeah. Yeah.
A couple of these guys went to Lucha Underground, right?
Justin Gabriel went to Lucha Underground.
He fits that mold of, like, if you have muscles, let's hope for the best. If you got big muscles, let's hope for the best.
There are two people that always come to mind from that era. Justin Gabriel is one of those because I really thought that he could have had something in that company. And the other one is Evan Bourne.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That dude could have had Matt Sydal. He could have had a tremendous WWE run. The guy, if you think about it, he's essentially Ricochet of today, of the past.
Exactly.
Same kind of feel, same kind of style, very, very aerial-based, and they just didn't really do much other than the Kofi run, him and Kofi.
Well, I think it's because, like, as we all know, WWE has to play catch-up with, like, a lot of this stuff, right? Ricochet's a great example because that style has been around on the indies for the last 5 years, right? Maybe more than that, 5 or 6 years.
The Ricochet style?
Yeah, like it's just like mostly high spots, right? So that style has been around since like maybe like I would say more than 5 or 6 years, and now WWE's like, oh, we need to get this guy that bounces around, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of those dudes in NXT come from that kind of same style. And Matt Sydal, you can arguably say if Matt Sydal and the Young Bucks signed with WWE at the same time, it would be the same. It would have been the same career trajectory, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, 100%, 100% the same thing. Very interesting though. So anyway, you know, it looks like they're getting ready for Money in the Bank. The Money in the Bank pay per view, very unique concept. I'm actually a little bit excited about this. Hearing what it's going to turn out as, I don't want to spoil anything because I think it's a unique concept and it's the first time we've seen something like this. So from what I've been told, it's a really people within the company think that the that it's a great idea, and people and the fans are going to enjoy it more than anything else. The fans are going to enjoy this, and that's the overall opinion. I whenever I get blips of this, like so, I'll give you a great example: the Edge Randy Orton match, right? I had heard specifically from multiple people, same exact thing from the company. They said, my God, it was great to see Edge back. Those guys really tore it up. I'm curious, you know, it's going to look great on TV when they put it together. That was the word that they used, was put it together. So watching now, I assume that the idea originally was to edit the shit out of that match. And then at one point they decided like, no, we're going to leave the whole fucking thing in. And have this, you know, 40-minute brawl in the back, which kind of went a little long. So I get what they mean. So I'm assuming it's going to be the same exact thing for this pay-per-view, where if they focus the concept of that match, it'll kind of work out.
Absolutely. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I am. Because it's different, right? It's going to be, it's taking place in Stamford, Connecticut, which is so weird. It's a whole different look. They're on a freaking roof. So how are they going to do all the matches? That's another question. Are they all going to be on the roof? Are people going to come by to Stamford, to Titan Towers, and stand around the building and see what happens? I mean, well, how can they prevent that from happening?
Well, what's the big spot going to be, too? Do you think somebody's going to go splat?
Off the building?
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
you know what? It's going to be Vince. This is going to be a swan song. This is going to be like, you guys hate me? I'm gone. And he's just going to leap off the building and fly.
I thought you were about to do like he opens up his shirt like a Superman.
No. He just jumps off. But instead, like you're like, oh, my God, he's going to die. All of a sudden, like Archangel, wings pop out from his back and he just flies. Like
what if he jumped off the roof and just burst into like 40 like doves or pigeons or pigeons? Let's say pigeons.
Yeah, you know what? Vince is a giant pigeon. Yeah, yeah. I'm
just
okay
transformed
with that
into like 40 pigeons. Poof! I'm out of here.
That is the greatest. That's the greatest finish to any pay per view, any match.
Well, they tested
McMahon
the waters.
Becomes a thousand pigeons.
They tested the waters with Baron Corbin and Elias, right? Like Baron Corbin dropping Elias off the performance center onto the floor. Yeah. Somebody is gonna go. Imagine if they do like a big spear spot where somebody gets speared off the roof.
You think they'll tease it?
That'd be great. You know, honestly, you know what else I think they could do, which would be fantastic. And I bet you they'll do it. If somebody's listening, they have to do it. You ready?
Yeah.
Helicopter. A fucking helicopter.
Oh, like what? Like hanging from the helicopter?
Some kind of helicopter. Something happens where the copter comes down and somebody gets out of it or they do a move with a helicopter. There has to be a helicopter involved, right?
Okay. I'll send them the memo. I'll let them know.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Guys,
please
can you please? For Rich. Just rent the helicopter and do it. It's going
to
be cool.
See a helicopter?
It's going to be all drones, dude. They're going to film the whole thing with drones.
That's going to be awesome. Listen, man, like that stuff is great. I'm pro drone.
I'm pro drone.
I'm anti Skynet, but I'm pro drone.
Excellent. AEW last night, I enjoyed the show. Jericho and commentary is great. You know what's fascinating?
Oh,
they're able to make so much noise on that show where it doesn't feel empty. It doesn't feel barren watching it. I'm curious if they're piping in some of it. Because they have like three people on each side, four people on each side, the heels and the baby faces. But they're able to make so much noise with like hitting the gates and doing all that where it fills in that void that's missing. And I think that the way that they black out that building, considering, you know, it's not really it's essentially a giant track that they're in the middle of, they're really able to do a great job at making the whole thing happen.
Yeah, dude, it looks great. It feels great. I think the feel is there. When you turn on Raw, the difference is palpable, right? Raw starts and you're hit with like 45,000 laser beams for no reason, right? Like there's nothing that they're doing that makes that production feel alive.
Yeah.
You have a smaller production just you're adding 10 guys to heels and faces on each side, and it sounds great, and you're vested, and the camera angles are a little better too, because you don't really realize that they're wrestling alone, right?
Yeah, because you have the giant screen, but you also they do a good job at kind of putting the camera on the individuals, you know, the mm-hmm. guys in the crowd. So here's a question for you, Rich. I mean, we'll mm-hmm. we'll talk about a little bit about AEW, but the big topic here is the direction of wrestling in the summer, where this is headed during the summer. Obviously, SummerSlam is a tremendously large pay per view. That whole weekend is always big. NXT has a big show. AEW has a pay per view coming up. I think people forget. So we have to kind of look at this and say, okay, so mid-May, they're going to loosen the restrictions. Obviously, some states are loosening it up right now, but by mid-May, we should be more kind of streamlined into what's happening. We'll have a better idea. So when do we start seeing fans starting to attend events? So certain people have said, we're going to see it over the summer. People are just going to be 10 feet apart. So how does that work? You know, when you put people 10 feet apart, are you going to have family members? Like if you're a group of four from a family, are you going to be together? And then the other set is going to be 10 feet. There's a lot of questions here with this. When do you think we're going to start seeing people in the crowd?
Honestly, I'm going to go fall. I'm skipping summer.
You're skipping summer. Okay.
Skipping summer. I think we're going to maybe September. We'll see some stuff. I mean, like, that's just my gut instinct telling me that. I'm not a scientist or a doctor, so don't believe that. But I think it's going to be, like, after summertime. I read a little blip yesterday. I forgot what country it was, but they had a fighting event, and everybody who attended had to sit 6 feet – like, the patrons had to sit 6 feet away from each other. And the arena was full of people, but everybody was, like, spaced out like a grid. You know?
Yeah.
Do you think we're organized enough to do something like that? Probably not, right?
I think what we're going to do, we'll probably do, I don't know if we're going to do 10 feet. I think maybe we'll do anywhere from like 3 to 6 feet apart from everybody, but we'll also have a capacity limit as far as how many people could be in the venue. So like you're looking at a large event, like I don't think we're going to be back in Madison Square Garden. I don't think we're going to be back, you know, packed out, sold out buildings. I think this is going to be a big question for football in the fall, where you got 60,000 to 80,000 people, in you know, for Dallas's sake, 100,000 people going to a football game. I don't see that happening that quickly. But I think for wrestling's sake, if you're doing it at the Performance Center or if you're doing it at Full Sail or you're doing it at Daily Plaza, right? Daily Plaza? Daily Plaza, is that the Jacksonville?
I don't know.
Am I right? Dale's Plaza?
Is it Dale's Plaza?
Bay Terrace Shopping Center, wherever you are.
Dale Jr.'s Plaza.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. Plaza. If you're there, are you gonna have? You know, you're gonna say, okay, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna just space everybody out, but in the front we'll have Daily Plaza. There you go. Dale's. I like Dale's Plaza better. I think you can maybe have like the front row could be the employees, the workers. Okay. And then the rest could be whatever. I mean, you're going to have to start filling it a little bit because this is really hindering the viewership of these shows. Dealey Plaza was where JFK got shot. Not. I mean,
RFK
listen,
got shot there.
Daly's place, not Plaza.
Are you okay? Are you having a freak
out
right
man.
Now?
No, I'm having a freak out. Hold on.
Is this your Howard Hughes aviator moment? Like, show me all the blueprints.
Hold on. Sorry. I didn't take my Propecia today.
Can I start calling you the Howard Hughes of podcasting?
Yeah. Better than the David Koresh of podcasting.
Has somebody called you the David Koresh of podcasting?
Yes. there was an article like 7 years ago that was written, and I spoke about how I don't pay anybody to do shows. Nobody gets paid other than if you know, obviously if your show makes money, like this one, you know, we split the revenue and stuff, but I made it I said it as a joke, and they called me the David Koresh of podcasting because I convinced all these people to do shows and I don't pay them.
Not the Charlie Manson of podcasting.
No, because he was a CIA you know, employee, so That's my new thing. I'm big on Charlie Manson conspiracy theories.
I need to hear that.
Charlie Manson? MK Ultra? He was part of MK Ultra.
I've never heard that before.
He was compromised by the CIA. He was part of MK Ultra. They gave him LSD.
Can we talk about this afterwards?
Yes, we can. It's actually all real. I read it on the internet.
Are you super into Charlie Manson?
Yeah, I went down that rabbit hole, dude.
You got it. All right. You got it real quick before we get back to wrestling. If you're into the weird Manson stuff, check out, there's a podcast. I'll send you the link to it later. But on this podcast, this dude basically talks about how Dennis Wilson, the drummer from the Beach Boys, had a weird thing to do with the Manson family in like an oddball kind of way, because he tried to help Charlie Manson get a recording career.
Yeah. And the theory was that the Manson family attacked, what's her name? Tate.
Yeah. Sharon Tate.
Sharon Tate, not Misha Tate.
He
targeted that house because that was the house that was originally owned by the record producer, I guess, that turned him down. That was the official, that was like the official reason, but he had seen that record producer multiple times after that, and they were fine. Like, it's a very fascinating story, the whole Charlie Manson thing and the whole MK Ultra thing. It's really nuts, and it sounds crazy, but when you start reading it, start going down that rabbit hole, you start seeing, like, oh my god, you know, like, example, Charlie Manson got arrested multiple times for crimes, and he was let go because people high up said no, let him go.
Do you want me to get you a Charlie Manson shirt for your birthday?
Can I? Yeah, please.
What was the WWE pay-per-view with the split faces?
Oh my god, the invasion angle? The invasion. Yeah,
can somebody make a t-shirt of your face and Charlie Manson's face split, and then it says Andrew Zarian at the top, and then at the bottom it says the Charlie Manson of podcasting.
I like that, actually. I'm big into that.
And on the back for good measure, it says fuck you, pay me.
This show, that's perfect. This show, we're talking about professional wrestling and the Manson family apparently today. All right, back to wrestling. Sorry. My brain just melted for like 2 seconds.
It's okay, man. Show me all the
dude. I've kind of lost it a little bit. I'm very overwhelmed by all this. So we'll get there. All right.
This show isn't your suicide note, right?
It might be. This may be the beginning.
Oh no!
I'm telling you, I'm just gonna jump off the building and turn into a bunch of pigeons, like Vince McMahon.
You mean your house or Titan Tower?
Titan Towers. I'm going there right now. So listen, I don't know. If I were to guess, I would say by August we're gonna start seeing people in the buildings.
By August. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All it's gonna take. I mean, here's the reality, right? All it's gonna take is one state that says, you know what, we have no confirmed cases, or we're getting, you know, 100 cases a day of this, or whatever the number is. We've had no mortality. We're doing great. We're somewhere in the freaking Midwest. We're going to open up events. How would they not run? I'm just saying, I guess I know that AEW is all about the safety if they're, you know, they're a little bit more progressive thinking, but how would you not run if you have the ability to run in a state that has opened everything up? There's no, I mean, forget about the whole morality and your own personal beliefs, but at the end of the day, this is a business, and they're going to open up. Vince McMahon, 100%. If Kansas opens up, if any of these, any state or municipality decides, listen, we have the choice to say, you know what, we're not going to run 20,000 seat buildings, but if you could be under 5,000 people.
So are you saying it's going to happen and WWE is going to be the first one to do it?
I think anybody and everybody's going to be the first one to do it. I think once that opportunity's there, everybody's going to look to run events. I truly believe that. I think, you know, everybody's a lot of talk until you're given the opportunity to make money. And then you're like, oh, you know what? Forget about all this stuff that I said about the safety of our patrons and the safety of our players. I want to make money. I'm not saying that that's what I believe. I'm just saying that. I want people to be clear. That's not my stance on this. I don't think if they're like, for example, we live in New York City. We live, only do we live in a state that is majority of this virus in this country, we live in a county in Queens. It is the largest county with infections out of any country county in the world.
Yeah.
We have the most cases here in Queens. 20% of people in New York City most likely have this. I would assume it's more people. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that we New Yorkers will open this up. I don't think New York State's going to open it up. But if you are in a state that was not affected tremendously by this, I expect them to open it up. How about countries? What about countries? Canada.
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 Oh. All right. I mean, I think, honestly, like, at the end of the day, the commerce is going to be there, right? Like you said, once money comes into the picture, for some odd reason, safety goes out the window. And also, like, and you know as well as I know, that there are tons of people out there who can't wait to get out of the house, who just want to start licking the sidewalk again, eating all the poles on the subway, rubbing their face all over anything dirty in the city,
just to
get out of the house and stay away from their wives.
I cannot wait till I go to Flushing and I see all the people spitting in the streets.
A gigantic mistake. I will tell you a story and I will not name names.
Okay.
But a person that we know that is close to my family wants to have a party for a small person, a child, a little person.
Yeah.
And they were saying, like, what's the big deal? I'll have maybe 15, 20 people over at the house in the backyard. And everybody is like, why would you do this?
Was this somebody that's related to somebody that was infected with this?
No? I'll tell you after the show.
Okay.
I'll tell you after the show.
But I'll give you that. My son's birthday is on Sunday.
Ridiculous.
We're not doing it. I mean, we're going to have cake at the house just for us. We're not inviting the family over.
You should just, like a smart person, just Skype everybody. 1 o'clock, phone call. 1:10, phone call. 1:20, phone call. And that's it. You know, like, listen, I love to party and I love to be outside and I love to go to bars. But, like, I think both of us in the same boat where it's like, it's better to stay home and shut the F up. Just watch some TV.
Listen, I'm fine for the next 15 days. I can handle this. I think after that, I'm gonna start, you know, being a little bit more aggressive about my stance on this.
Do you want to start going out?
I do, but I think the numbers have to be right. Mm-hmm. The numbers have to be right for that. All right. Sorry, the show is taking a whole different turn. By the way, Governor Cuomo's on right now, so I'll probably
You have to start turning that shit off.
I know. I got it. I'm so sorry. All
right. What would you do if Cuomo came through the TV right now and just
grabbed
appeared in the podcast studio?
With his nipple rings?
Mm-hmm.
I would love it. I'd be so happy. He's from Queens.
Also, how did you feel about the reveal that aliens are real the other day?
I've been telling you people this for years that aliens are 306 deaths, by the way. We had 287 in a hospital and we had 19 in a nursing home. So the numbers is dropping by significant numbers every day. So it looks like we're dropping about 30 people a day. So that's a positive thing for the mortality. All right. Back to wrestling. Sorry, guys. this show is taking a whole different spin. So,
Anunnaki.
I don't know. We're going to talk about the Anunnaki next. You want to just do Joe Rogan podcast? You want me to pretend I'm Joe Rogan the whole time? And then I'll just talk about the Anunnaki and how the pyramids are holograms.
People are still going to start getting their news from us. Just wait.
Wait
and see.
I hope so. I really anticipate by the end of the summer, we'll have some live crowds depending on where they are. I don't expect it to be in New York City, obviously. I don't expect it to be in major populated cities that were attacked by this, but I do expect certain places to open. I don't know if that's the right call or not. But that's what I think will happen. AEW, did you watch that Jon Moxley promo? Holy moly, that was a phenomenal promo he caught.
That was really good. Did you say he caught it?
He caught.
He caught the promo.
He caught the promo.
Oh, caught that promo like a big effing sandwich. I thought it was great, man. Like they do a good job. They do a really good job of going back and forth between in-ring action, promo, that Manitoba Melee. Did you watch that yesterday?
Yeah.
How great was that? You had all these weirdo cameos that were all friends of Jericho showing up on that thing, which was very well put together. You had Lou Ferrigno showing up, Corey Taylor from Slipknot, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses. Very, very motley crew of people.
Was it all the people that have done his podcast?
I think it's all the people that are his celebrity buddies and the people who've done his podcast. You had that LP comedian that was on there. Jay and Silent Bob showing up, which I thought was kind of cool. And then, like, whatever wrestlers that they had. It would have been cool if they actually had somebody who got released from WWE show up, like, real quick.
Oh, like a recent release.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wearing, like, a mask or something.
I thought, listen, dude, the show is so, the show is produced so differently where you're not with WWE. I could tell you like when they're going to commercial break, what the spot is going to be before the commercial break, what they're going to say when they're back from a commercial break. Because we've watched it for 30 some odd years, it's the same trajectory every single show. I think for AEW's sake, the thing that's refreshing about it is that it's new. And they're okay with trying different things out. Mm-hmm. They're trying out all these different ideas and all these different concepts where we're seeing it unfold. And for us, that's cool. It's right. Something different. The same thing Absolutely. That, you know, we liked about Ring of Honor and we liked about Impact in a certain day, you know, in a certain era for TNA, people really enjoyed it. It's because it was different. And I think that's fine. You're okay with having something different. Jericho on commentary has turned out to be one of the best color commentators in the business.
Magical.
It really is. I that's the biggest shocker to me out of all this on how good he is in this role. And he's not playing like this over the top heel. He's going back and forth. Like he's more like an analyst that has his opinion. Like I like how he's such a chicken shit and he puts over like Brody Lee. He was talking about Brody Lee. He's like, if he comes my way, I'm not staying.
Right, right. He like
WWE would never do that.
No, not they won't let anybody go because he doesn't have somebody in his ear telling him like, oh, you better not go there. You better not say that. Just call it a move. Just call it a move. Like, well,
just think about the WWE thing, right? Like, who's their top? Let's say who's their top heel right now in that company?
Yeah, Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt is Bray Wyatt. No, I'm talking like non monster. Like, give me like Brock Lesnar. Okay, let's go Brock Lesnar. Let's go Randy Orton. Okay, let's actually Randy Orton. Great example, right? Randy Orton on commentary. And then all of a sudden, Brock Lesnar is now in the ring destroying somebody. Is Randy Orton going to go, well, if he comes my way, I'm headed for the hills. I'm running out of here. I'm not going to stay here. Right. No, Randy Orton's going to get up and try to square up with him because everybody's a tough guy and everybody's cut by from the same cloth.
Everybody's a tough guy.
Everybody's a tough guy. Everybody's the same. Nobody does a chicken shit heel stuff where they run off. You know, that's a very Flair thing to do.
It's gray area. WWE is all gray area, right?
All gray, yeah.
Because they want that, like, I think John Cena set the bar for that, right? Where he is the ultimate gray area.
You know, I mean, he's the ultimate babyface, but nobody liked him, which is... It's interesting. I think, you know, just two different philosophies, and we're seeing it unfold on television, and I think that's a great thing. I really enjoy seeing a difference in wrestling with different companies. Ring of Honor, for example, is starting to go back to its original roots with more wrestling.
Yeah.
They're starting to make that shift again. I know that Marty Scurll is a big proponent of that, where he really wants it to go back to the years, like the 2004 era of Ring of Honor. I don't know if that'll happen. I fear for Ring of Honor. I don't see too much going on with them. It's what a sad decline. A year ago, they ran the garden.
Yeah.
A year ago.
I wouldn't say they ran the garden. I'd say they co-opted the garden with New Japan. That was a New Japan show.
But you know what? For any promoter, it was. That's why we all went. We didn't go because of a Ring of Honor show. We went because it was a New Japan show. But the fact that it was a sellout, dude. That was a sellout. That's the largest crowd AEW's been in front of. Ring of Honor's ever been in front of, most likely. Even when you look at even New Japan doesn't necessarily run buildings that are 18,000 people.
No.
It's not common for them to do. They run the Dome, but I don't know how big the other buildings are.
Do they run Budokan?
No? Yeah, they do. Not that much, but Budokan is bigger. But Budokan is like...
Yeah.
It's a rarity, right? They don't do that. WWE, on the other hand, runs a 17,000 person building every month for a pay-per-view, and like they do well with it. So it's a different concept. And when you see them the decline, the collapse of that company, it's mm-hmm. unbelievable. Unbelievable.
For me, my favorite era of modern Ring of Honor was that whole I know you don't like the Jay Briscoe title picture, but when they were getting the Bucks and the Bullet Club stuff, but also you had your Dalton Castle, your Jay Lethal, your Jay Briscoe. Like, yeah. I feel like that group of guys at that era of Ring of Honor, if they put them on TV, like big TV, like a TNT, it would have taken off like nobody's business. But I do feel like, again, this is speculation. I don't know what the deal is. I feel like it Ring of Honor got exposed for being a poorly run company.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Point,
exactly. Exactly.
And I think from a fan's perspective, that's exactly what happened. You're just like, yeah, what are they doing, man? They have so many great talents. Like, why doesn't anybody want to sign with them anymore? Right.
They don't have money. They don't really pay, and it's a dead brand at this moment. By the way, MG Geek brings up a great example. Samoa Joe on commentary on Monday. Great, refreshing, different. Love it.
Absolutely.
Love it. Guys, get your questions ready in the chat room. We're going to answer your questions. It's a mailbag segment that we do each and every week at the end of the show. You can submit your question in the chat room on YouTube. Also, if you enjoy what we're doing, be sure to subscribe. The subscriptions help tremendously. We're on our way. I want to be at 10,000 subscribers by the end of the year. I think we could do it. I think we're at 4,000, almost at 4,000 now. Let us get to 4. Let us get to 5 and just strap this rocket and fly to the moon. That's where we're headed right now.
To the moon.
That's what we're going to put on our shows.
Also, patreon.com/madmenpodcast. If you feel like donating even a dollar a month, it goes a long way.
Yeah.
And we should be having some new t-shirts in the pro wrestling tees, right?
I got to make, we do have a shirt ready. I got to get the link. I wasn't prepared for that today, but we should have some more shirts on pro wrestling tees. Submit your questions.
Madman Exotic stuff.
Madman Exotica. All right. What do we have here? You want to read the questions, Rich?
There's no questions yet. Guys, submit your questions in the chat.
I think Mark has a question.
Supposedly the late July show here in Fort Worth for SmackDown is going to be the targeted first public attended wrestling event.
Interesting. It's possible. Texas is doing pretty well with it, so I wonder how big of a show they'll run. You know, that's what it really comes down to. How big of a show they're going to run. I don't know. I don't know how big they'll do, but they're gonna open up, guys. It's gonna happen. We're past the terribleness of this thing, and it's only gonna get better from here. Thoughts on the Dark Side episode? Large 23 in our chat room. I thought it was. I had no expectation going into it, and I really enjoyed it. David Schultz is a fascinating character. Do you know much about him, Rich?
Not apart from like the surface stuff about like, you know, him getting blackballed from wrestling because of what he did. And then, you know, like with the John Stossel stuff. I didn't watch the Dark Side of the Ring episode. I heard it was one of the best ones that they did.
It was a very good one. The ratings were really good. It was second highest next to the Benoit episodes. So here's the thing about David Schultz. David Schultz was not blackballed by wrestling. Vince McMahon didn't blackball him because at the time that this happened, the promoters would have loved to have David Schultz. How he went to WWE is interesting. He was a Hogan. Him and Hogan were roommates. I don't know if a lot of people know that. And Hogan got him to go over. When Hogan was negotiating with Vince, that was part of his thing where he got Dave Schultz to go from the AWA to WWE with him. And Hogan's idea was to run whenever they would run like the mid, because this was the expansion, right? They were going to go to the Midwest and they were going to run David Schultz and Hulk Hogan because they did so well in that territory together. And it just never came. He was not an easy person to get along with. He was very aggressive. He was just very carny. And he really wasn't blackballed, this guy. He just fizzled out. The John Stossel thing is fascinating because John Stossel in the documentary actually says, like, all of a sudden after I got my payout, he got, I think, $250,000 from Vince. He's like, all of a sudden my hearing came back and I was fine. You know, John Stossel's a little bit of a dick, too. He's not innocent in this. He did carny them. Yeah, he's the question that I don't know. There's a lot of speculation here. What happened? I think Vince told him to scare the shit out of him, and David Schultz kind of took it to a whole different level. and Absolutely. Smacked him. And John Stossel milked that for a lawsuit, for a great story. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It is interesting, the whole Davis Schultz thing. I don't think he was already on his way down in the company.
Okay.
He wasn't like this big star, and all of a sudden he, you know, just Vince blackballed him and that was it. That's a whole different narrative, and I think that's his narrative. I don't think anybody blackballed him. I think he just, people didn't want to work with him.
Okay, fair enough. I gotta watch the episode.
Yeah.
I have a question for everybody, actually.
Yeah.
I would like, if somebody's in the chat room, or if Jonathan, our, I guess, default graphic designer, who we still have to take care of, is in the chat room, can we get Charlie Caruso's lips photoshopped on a bunch of different wrestlers?
Why?
I just think it would be hysterical. Like, all right, if you had a picture of Roman Reigns with Charlie Caruso's lips, or Daniel Bryan, even.
Yeah. Armando in the chat room, I like that idea. Armando in our chat room says, do you think Roman Reigns will be given a chance at the WWE title again? I know he's one of the biggest stars in WWE. He was scheduled to take the title from Goldberg, but he lost it due to COVID. Yeah, 100%. When this thing passes, Roman's going to be the first one, you know, in line. He's part of the big plan here.
He's been part of the big plan for the last, like, 7 years.
Yeah, and right now this might be good for him. You know he's at home right now. He's relaxing. He's recovering from whatever injuries he has, and he may come back jacked, bigger than ever, and maybe tweak his character a little bit. He's going to be back for sure, and he's going to be put in a position of a major title run. You know,
what if he came back with no beard and short hair?
No beard and short hair. Oh, yuck. Hate it. Dude, what do you think Vince's reaction would be?
What the F are you doing? Get the F out.
Get the F out.
Would you lose your shit?
Yeah. I would be so disappointed. Because that thing makes
mustache.
Half. Yeah.
Crew cut.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that, you know, we'll see what happens. Will history repeat itself with Heath Slater? I don't know, Bob. You know, everybody's asking that, and I think that's all up to Heath what he does in the next, you know, couple months. If this guy goes and starts working out and changes his whole style and creates a new character for him, I see it becoming something. But you got to look at it this way. Jinder developed not only his physique, first of all, but his character, right? Like, they took him and they rebranded him as something totally different, as a foreign heel.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Drew went and started from the bottom again and worked his way up and reinvented himself. It really has to do with, what is Heath Slater going to be able to do? Is he going to be able to reinvent himself as what?
Well, that is true. I mean, like, there's still, like, many tweaks to, like, characters out there. You know what I think would be perfect for Heath Slater?
What?
If he came back as, like, a Ric Flair type, you know, like, I traveled the world, I got all this money now, and I'm back to take my my prize.
Yeah, but he has to do it. He has to get over on his own. You know, right. Jinder coming back was interesting. You know, do you know the story how Jinder came back?
No.
The deal was with that? So WWE, when they went to SmackDown Live, right, when they went live, they didn't have enough talent because they were splitting the roster again. So WWE reached out to all these former people that worked for them, including MVP to come back, including Stevie Richards to come back, and they gave them tremendously low offers. Like, the number that I was told, very low. And Jinder took it. He took it for virtually nothing. Like, he took a very low offer. This guy got ridiculously in shape, and he came back, and, you know, he became a world champion. That's such it's such an amazing story. On top of that, a lot of other people. I just named two people. I could be wrong on the names, but it was a whole bunch of people that they offered that worked for them. And he was one of the ones that said yes, and he came back, and he proved himself. Vince got one look at this fucking guy and said, "Oh my God, what a great heel character." And he got over. Absolutely. To an extent. I know a lot of people hated him and hated his title run, but I really enjoyed it because it was a throwback and it was out of the box. having him win that
always
title.
Need a good foreign heel.
You always need a good foreign heel. I mean, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Heath Slater could do it. I don't know if he's meant for that. But again, I don't think anybody would have thought Jinder Mahal could do it. So it really comes down to him.
People wrote him off big time.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do we have here? Armando, what are your thoughts on Mysterio? The last year has been kind of screwed with the WWE title and the U.S. title. And Dominic hasn't been much. Okay, so I don't know what they're doing with him. They're making the same mistakes they made with Kurt Angle. This is a guy that should be a specialty wrestler when you have Rey Mysterio. Okay. I find that logic bizarre, that it's almost like somebody has said, no, we're not doing these specialty guys anymore.
Right, like attractions.
Like an attraction guy. I think, you know, listen, Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio, mm-hmm. Edge, Brock Lesnar, let's put him in there too, John Cena. Mm-hmm. These are all attractions. So why not mm-hmm. keep it as that? Why have them on TV every single week? Why does Rey Mysterio have to be on TV every week? You know, Josh calls me every single time I'm on the air. You know that, right?
Josh Combe?
Yeah.
Just to tell you how cute you are?
No, he'll just call and be like, hey, by the way, I totally forgot you're on the air. And then he hangs up every time.
He does that. He knows you're on the air.
He knows I'm on the air. Yeah, he has Twitter. He knows exactly what I'm doing.
He's breaking those cojones.
You know, why wouldn't you use Rey Mysterio in that position where you have... I find it that baffles me. Okay, you got Rey, right? You're a huge Rey fan, Rich.
Sure.
Have Rey.
From Star Wars,
Have him say, you know what? I want one last title run. And he starts working his way up. And he run one big program with him. Maybe he wins a title, maybe he doesn't. But you built him up to be on that level. Instead of having him wrestle Andrade every single week and lose.
I think they're using Rey as the stepping stone to get these guys over, right? But I can see your argument, obviously. I think the within the last like 10 years of WWE, clearly if you don't stick to their plan, you kind of get thrown by the wayside. So they brought Rey Mysterio in, they brought MVP in, basically saying like, hey guys, listen, we know your time is limited. We're not going to use you as an attraction. We're not going to rely on legends like we used to. You guys are going to put these new guys over and that's all you're going to do. No belts, no nothing. I think Edge is the only modern exception. Example of like, if he can go, forget it. You know.
Okay, but here's the problem with that. I think the Andrade thing of putting Andrade over with Rey makes all the sense, right? But that should have reached it a pinnacle. Like it should have been a program where it reaches and reaches and then it hits. Not that it's a weekly match on WWE TV. Because once you beat him and then you beat him again, how did it help you? The Baron Corbin and Kurt Angle match. Did Baron Corbin beating Kurt Angle help him?
Yes.
You think it helped Baron Corbin's, stock?
It helped his stock, and also like it helps his promos, I think, because he keeps mentioning it. That's the thing. Like the same thing how when Brock beat Undertaker, it was for that. Just to get into your head in a promo, you know, because you can always go back to it. It's not like it didn't happen.
I feel like Brock beating The Undertaker meant that's a real solidification of a holy shit, he beat him. I think by the time they had Baron Corbin beat Kurt Angle, it didn't mean much. And I know that Kurt Angle was limited, but you could have hid that. In many, many ways. I think we missed out on a lot of these Kurt Angle. Listen, we missed out on Kurt Angle and Triple H. We saw a little bit, but we missed out on that. We missed out on Kurt Angle and maybe Shelton Benjamin, Chad Gable. You know, there was... What?
CM Punk when he wasn't with the company?
No, I'm saying like when he was there, right? Oh, okay. When he was there. Like we missed out on major attraction matches. Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar. Why didn't we get that?
Kurt Angle Cena. That I feel like that should have been how he ended that career.
This is my criticism of WWE. I think people are afraid of suggesting certain things because from what I've been told, if you suggest something that is out of their plan, it is considered an idiotic suggestion and you are now looked at as a dummy. If you suggest Great example, Rich. If you say, you know what we should do? We should redo John Cena and Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm. Do something here. If you say that, they're going to... Once that gets up there, then it becomes a, what are you, reading the internet for your suggestions?
Well, so, I think it's more than that. You know, in regards to, like, that whole thing, it's fan service. They should have done fan service, right? But I also think that there's that spiteful side of the behind the scenes of WWE where it's like, you know what? We have you now. F you. And that I think Kurt Angle
I think
that,
some of that. Yeah, that I agree with you. You know, I agree with you. I think you're like, absolutely right on that.
Like, poor guy, he went to TNA for a number of years and had a lot of success there. And when they came back, like, what was the first thing they did when they brought Kurt Angle back? They made him look like a jackass at the Hall of Fame, right?
So they made him look like a jackass at the Hall of Fame, and they purposely ruined his reaction when Vince introduced mm-hmm. him. Do you remember that? How awkward that was when he was a new general manager of Raw?
I don't remember that.
Okay, so they were looking for a new general manager, right? Because they'd had no general manager on Raw. So Vince comes out, and he's like, we're going to announce a new general manager, and it's this guy. It's a Hall of Famer, and here comes Teddy Long. And they do the whole mm-hmm. Teddy Long bit. So Vince goes, no, Teddy, it's not you, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, and a new general manager, and no music hits. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, the new general manager, Kurt Angle. And then the music hits. They ruined the pop, the reaction, because they prepared you for it to be Kurt Angle. And
right.
When I spoke to someone, they said, this was done on purpose. When WWE does these things, it's not done because of like a bad suggestion. Do you remember that when Jericho returned, the return of Jericho with Randy Orton in the ring?
Yeah.
Okay. That was purposely, they removed the pop and the reaction from that. Because they had him do that pose in the back, and everybody got a glimpse of him, and then he showed up. And it was stupid. It was a guy with a, like, the Olympic torch running, and he clotheslines the guy.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
It's weird. Like, it seems like a lot of the stuff they do is petty. And the Hall of Fame thing, I always thought, I know, like, I'm sure, obviously, Kurt Angle was okay with it, and, like, the, you know, like, reiterating all the stuff that he did in the past for the Hall of Fame speech. But for some reason, as a fan, I'm just like, they could have given him a little more. Like, the ideal retirement is Flair Shawn Michaels, right? Like, if you had a John Cena angle at WrestleMania, like, it's like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah. The John Morrison return, as another one MG Geek suggested. They ruined that return. That was a half-assed return.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's bizarre. Eric in our chat room, how would you guys book Double or Nothing since it's 3 weeks away? And the only thing that they have, they only have three TNT final as the match. Okay, the TNT champion, the TV title as a match. What do you think they should do with this?
Well, isn't Jack Swagger versus Moxley going to headline?
I thought they did that.
Yeah, they did do that.
Yeah.
I totally forgot. It's like everything's like a blur. So is Mox defending his championship?
He's showing up next week. He said in his promo. The only match right now, let's see. It's a double. It's Cody versus Lance Archer.
Mm-hmm.
That is the match.
It's going to be great.
And that will be a great match. Who takes it? Do you think Cody gets that title or Lance?
I think Lance.
I don't know. I'm curious about that. I'm not against it. I'm not against Lance getting it. I'm not against Cody getting it. I think it's both done well. These matches have been long too. Cody and Darby was 20 minutes. Dustin and Lance was 22 minutes. Sean Spears and Cody was 21 minutes. Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin, 10 minutes. Dustin and Kip Sabian, 14 minutes. And Colt Cabana, Lance Archer, 12 and a half minutes. They've given these matches some time. I wonder if this TV title is going to be that exactly. You know, 20-minute matches on TV.
Sure. Yeah, I'm cool with that. Because Hangman hasn't been around, so you can't really book a tag team championship match without half of the tag teams, right?
Yeah. Where are they doing this event?
I don't know. I want to say Georgia because Georgia's open now, right?
On April 8th, it was announced that it's going to be canceled. All events through May 31st. In response to AWW, nothing was planned to be at an undisclosed location. I'm imagining it's going to be done in Florida. But the third Double or Nothing was announced to be held. It's going to be in 2021 at the MGM Grand. So they're offering refunds and everything for that. I don't know what the matches are going to be. I don't even know if it's worth it to do... Dude, just have this pay-per-view free. Mm-hmm. I would do that. Have the pay-per-view be 100%. Free. And just have, you know, good TV matches and just call it like a bonus show, something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to do. Hardy versus Jericho might be on that pay-per-view. That's another one. Actually, Large, thank you for that. That's actually, it's going to probably lead up to that. Also, something that we have not seen is their War Games match, the Blood and Guts match.
Right.
Is that scrapped for good?
Oh, man, I hope not. That I was looking forward to that, like, big time.
Yeah. But good question, Eric. I don't know how I would book that. I don't have an answer to it because I really don't. I'm at a loss. I'm kind of bummed out over this whole thing.
About wrestling?
I am. I really am. Listen, there's much larger issues. But if I'm gonna be mm-hmm. if I'm gonna bring it down to that on that level, yeah, I'm bummed out. You know, I think everything was on a great trajectory. We missed out on WrestleMania. We're missing out mm-hmm. on this stuff. It's a whole different world that we're in right now. I don't know how soon. I was thinking about that this morning, and I told Jess, and I said, I was trying to figure out when the last time that we haven't, you know, seen each other mm-hmm. in person. I would say like 8 years. We've seen each other every single week consistently for almost 8 years.
For the most part, yeah.
For the most part, other than, you know, weeks where we don't do a show or something. But
hey, I miss you, man.
I do too. I miss you too. I miss everything. I miss life. What do you think about the kidnapper segment on NXT here and there? What is it setting up to be? I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I haven't really followed NXT as much. That's why we're not really talking about it right now. But is it going to be, who do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. I'm in the same boat as you are. I keep hearing, something to do with El Hijo del Fantasmo.
Is that what what you heard? Oh shit. Yes. Yes. It probably is. It probably is him.
You know, maybe, I don't know. I've been watching the last couple of weeks. I don't know what the Karrion Kross situation is at this point.
You hate his name, right?
Oh, the name's stupid.
They're just going to call him Kross.
They should have just called him Kross or, I don't know, man. Crisscross.
Crisscross. Crisscross applesauce. Let's see what else.
Mr. Gonzo loves NXT, man.
He does. I know. And you know what? I've been neglecting him too. I'm working on a project that he's going to be part of, and I haven't finished it yet. I think he's mad at me.
Is it an Enchante?
It's an Enchante, yeah. Armando says, you know what? What would have been great way to retire Undertaker streak and get him over? The Fiend defeating Undertaker and taking the mantle in the streak. Yeah, I listen, so many different options there. So many different things that they could have done. Who's the anonymous guy on SmackDown? Ali, Gabe, Gable, both? Punk, who do you think it is? I think it's going to lead to Mustafa Ali, even though that makes no sense. Here's the thing, right? Are they going to make it? His gimmick can't be that he's a hacker, right? His gimmick has to be mm-hmm. whoever this is that he's a vigilante exposing everybody's, you know, corruptness and selfishness. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the gimmick. So who's going to be that guy? That's all for, you know, positivity and the right, fixing the wrongs and all that stuff. Is it Mustafa Ali?
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, does he?
It could be anybody, right?
It could be anybody. I think, you know, in the reality is, here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. It would be such a great setup for CM Punk.
Sure.
Right? I'm not saying it is. I definitely, it's mm-hmm. not him, but... You know, he comes out and he says, you know, I just see this is why I left this company. Everybody is selfish. Everybody just thinks about themselves. You screw over your best friends for this. By the way, this is leading to the New Day breakup that we spoke about how long ago?
Oh, my God. You think it's going to be Xavier Woods?
Oh, you know what? Dude, it could be Xavier. That's a great way to bring him and have him turn on the other guys and say how selfish they are. I'm okay with that.
The behind-the-scenes stuff, the behind-the-scenes weirdo stuff never really tracks well, right?
Has it ever? I'm trying to think. You may be right.
Yeah, I think the only the only one that kind of was a payoff that I liked, I feel like people took a really big nasty shit on it, was DDP being revealed as Undertaker stalker.
Oh man, dude, that was weird though. Come on.
See, I'm got the only DDP. One who liked it. Yeah. I'm a big DDP guy.
You are a DDP guy, but I think the whole point with DDP, that was an amazing acquisition for them, right? Because DDP came before the invasion, right?
I think this was after, dude.
No. He came before the invasion.
Oh, I don't even remember.
I don't know. Anybody remember this? I can't remember. But he was separate from it for the beginning, in the beginning part. So I'm assuming he came before the invasion, and he started stalking the Undertaker. And he started stalking Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
But why? But why was he the guy? Why did he become a stalker?
I don't know, but I feel like that's the one that played well for me. But I think for the majority of fans, they were let down that it was the Undertaker.
Okay, it was just before. It was just before the invasion.
Okay.
Imagine if it was Hulk Hogan as a stalker.
You'd see that shit coming a mile away.
I'm into blondes, brother.
He always played the cartoon heel. So you couldn't have I don't think you could have had a serious stalker angle with Hogan.
What's going on inside?
Oh my God, right?
I'm looking through your window, brother.
Armando says it was right before the invasion. Here we go. Here's another question. From Mark in our chat room. Any truth to the rumors that WWE could be selling to Fox and ESPN? No way that's true. I'm going to tell you guys, I do not believe that is true. I think the rumors started by Dutch Mantel crossing, misunderstanding or misspeaking what's going on. Here's how this works. Both Fox and ESPN, we've been talking about this since the new year, are very much interested in first run pay-per-view level shows by WWE.
Okay.
The concept that I have heard is that the WrestleMania, for example, will be off pay-per-view. It'll be on pay-per-view. It won't be free on the network unless you're tiered for that. You could get a special tier where you get it, but the goal is, or maybe they're not even doing that, but the goal is to take that and make that into the Super Bowl of wrestling, which I agree with. That is the direction that they're going to go. Fox would be the best place to put this on. ESPN now is in the mix because they're going to be running pay-per-views, or they were looking to run pay-per-views. Take the big four, move them to a network. That's okay. How it should have been from day one. This is part of that big problem where why George Barrios and Michelle Wilson got cut. Vince did not want to give away the pay-per-views. The whole model of taking the pay-per-views and just killing the pay-per-view business and moving them to the network was in fear that people are just not going to buy pay-per-views anymore. It was a decline. So you have this network. Why would I pay $9 a month for this when and then expect to pay the pay-per-view? UFC never did that model, by the way. UFC had the Fight Pass, and you would have events on there, but pay-per-views were pay-per-views. You can't go backwards now. It's very difficult to say, you know what? We're not going to do this. So the big four are going to be... I'm 100% convinced at this. I'll be shocked if this doesn't happen by the end of the year, but the big four should be removed or by next year, right? The big four will be removed from the network as a current tier. I don't know if you could buy, you might be able to purchase it through the network. You might be able to purchase it on Fox or purchase it on ESPN, but WrestleMania is going to be moved to a big spectacle. I think the two-night concept, by the way, Rich, is interesting. This is going to allow you to bid, if you're ESPN or you're Fox, why can't you get night one on ESPN and night two on Fox, like the World Series?
I like it. Triple H did say that he thinks WrestleMania should be two nights going forward from now on, right?
I like that. I have to tell you, it depends, right? If you're running a seven-hour fucking pay-per-view,
oof.
Why? It's impossible to watch. I'm telling you, and we love wrestling. Rich, you and I love wrestling. We watch wrestling. We watch all sorts of wrestling, and we're less aggressive about disliking stuff. We kind of analyze the business end and why they make the decisions. We're more understanding. I don't know anybody that's happy watching a seven-hour wrestling show. So here's the option. Either you cut it down to 4 hours and you make it into a really solid show, or you split it into 2 days.
I think the split into 2 days, we aggressively are positive about wrestling and just like point out stuff that we like all the time. And listen, both of us love that 2 day WrestleMania. Like, it was a lot of fun. It was fantastic. It was great. And, you know, I'm biased because getting to do this, we got to do two nights of coverage and all that stuff. And that was a lot of fun, right?
Yeah. But here's a question for you. Are you going to be 2 nights to go to WrestleMania? Are people going to be willing to do that?
I think so. I think, like, if they do the cards ahead of time and they let people choose kind of like a concert series, you know, like, yeah, you could buy 2 nights of tickets. You can buy, I don't want to see Roman Reigns. I don't care. I'd rather see AJ Styles and somebody. I'm going to go to night two. You know, I think that's kind of a cool thing. It leaves it open for people. It lets more people be able to go to the show. You know what I mean? Because, like, let's say you're selling out a 100,000 seat arena.
Yeah.
You can go one night and then new people come in the second night. You know, it'll still be a lot of fun. And I honestly do think with that dynamic, it would create that much more revenue for whatever city that they're in.
So night two always suffers when you have 2 day events. So they're going to have to figure out a way to kind of, it can't just be a normal WrestleMania. Like, we're now talking in terms of, okay, night one, I'm not saying these two, but I'm just saying on this caliber. Night one, you got The Rock, but night two, you got Steve Austin. That's what they're going to have to. I'm bleeding.
Look at this.
I'm bleeding spontaneously. So you're going to have to kind of do that.
Okay.
I don't know if they are. So we'll see what happens. I mean, that's a great question, by the way. Mark says, by the way, reason I'm able to ask so many questions is because COVID-19 cost me my job being a title in the title industry, residential and commercial. Were those numbers dropping? It got me laid off. More time for you boys. Mark, I hope you get back to work. What else do we have here, Rich?
It looks like, let's see. We did the 2 day WrestleMania thing. DDP and Booker T came about immediately after the sale.
If we didn't ask,
did you hear rumors?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
did
no,
you,
you
hear
go.
Rumors about that? Did you hear rumors about that lawsuit?
Which one?
Potential lawsuit because of loss of revenue and like the Saudi stuff involved and how WWE's not delivering on certain things.
Lawsuit
I read like
from
a little
who?
Article about this yesterday.
Stockholders?
I want to say from stockholders.
Listen, if you're a stockholder and you decide that this is a time to sue a company because of loss of revenue, you're a real asshole. I'm sorry. How everybody's at a loss of revenue. The whole world is shut down. I find it bizarre. I think people, there was rumors that Vince McMahon is going to lose control of the company. There's a lot of these rumors. I cannot see WWE selling the company right now. If it was any other company, I would say yes. I do think that there is interest from Fox and ESPN definitely to purchase the company. I don't think that WWE is looking to sell the company. Can you imagine WWE under Disney?
I've always said that for years. I've always said, like, if they're going to sell it to anybody, it's going to be Disney, and it's going to be awesome. I think they would do it, not better, but I think it would be more fan service if it was under the Disney umbrella.
Yeah, I'm just curious to crossover. Can you imagine the crossover on the Avengers?
Oh my God, Roman Reigns shows
Roman
up Darth Vader?
Yeah, why not? I mean, just, we are now, imagine that universe that we're in, if that happens, where the X-Men, Star Wars, and Hulk Hogan are all, Wolverine, Hulk Hogan, and Darth Vader are all in the same universe.
Oh, forget it. Like, I would love it. Like, imagine
Captain Marvel
imagine...
versus Ronda versus Captain Marvel?
Sure. I want all that stuff. I want all that crazy ass, like, crossover stuff. And you could make, Disney could fundamentally, and again, something I've been saying for years, Disney could fundamentally make a fun WWE movie.
Yeah. I think that would be, you know, that'd be interesting.
With the guys playing their characters, you know, like, you can have, arguably, you can have Roman Reigns as like a SWAT guy or something, or like the captain of some kind of tactical force, you
sure.
know, almost like the Hobbs and Shaw stuff. There's Roman Reigns in his vest. And then you can make Jericho like a rocker. Well, Jericho's not in WWE anymore, but that was like an example, you know? And just like have these dudes like what's his name? Like Drew could be like a nobleman in Scotland.
Sure.
You know,
I'm
and he
okay
has to come
this.
And fight a bunch of dudes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with this.
I gotta tell you about a dream I had about The Undertaker after we're done.
Was it sexy?
I don't know, but I don't know if it's appropriate for
Okay. You'll tell me off the air. You'll tell me off the air. Let's see what else. Oh, Cain Velasquez. Gone. They cut him.
Dunzo.
I'm not surprised by that. He should have been first on that list. They probably couldn't get a hold of him. We'll probably go down as one of the biggest what the F moments, probably. The whole thing was for Brock to get his win back in a fake match against Kane. They brought back. He signed a tremendously large deal, by the way. That was a big contract deal. This guy's probably going to go to AAA. He'll probably do something in AEW. Fascinating how that fell apart. They did nothing with him. He had that one match, and that was it.
I think Vince saw his physique, and he was like, that's not what I like.
Brown pride, what's that? You think
that's
he said that?
I like. It's like when somebody shows you porn in the style that you don't like. He's just like, that's not what I like. I don't like that.
All right. Anything muscles. Else, Rich? Any other questions or statements?
Josh Freaks wants to know, how will y'all get by if there are purchase limits on meat? Local grocery chain here, limited purchases to 2 packages of any fresh meat, not 2 of each animal, just 2 meat packages, period. I'd be fine. How about you?
You'd be okay.
I'd be fine.
I'm not like one of these crazy prep guys, but I like to like have enough food because considering I got the kids, like I'm fine for me because I got tons in my basement fridge. But that would be terrible if the supply chain breaks for that.
I'm probably gonna go vegan next month. So
are you?
I'm probably gonna try going vegan next month. Yeah,
I did it for 30 days a couple years ago. Not easy. Vegetarian way more easier. Vegan not easy. Kane is also injured, bro. Let's talk about the things he was supposed to do. Okay. All right, guys. That's it for this week. Fun show. Rich, where can people find you?
Yeah. BTC Rich, baby. Find me on the internet.
You can follow me at Andrew Zarian. Of course, you can follow Mattman Podcast at Mattman Podcast everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tinder, Grindr, Plenty of Fish, Friendster,
open,
MySpace, AOL, AIM. We're everywhere. Guys, if you enjoy the show, you can support us by purchasing a Mattman shirt, Mattman Podcast on Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/Mattman Podcast. Also, our Patreon, patreon.com/Mattman Podcast. Go there, give us your dollars. You can give us as little as $1 per month, and it helps us out. Tomorrow's payday for me and Rich. We got your sweet couple $100. Rich and I split it. You know what that's good for? Our beer, our drinks, when we go out to lunch, when you guys tip us. I mean, it really goes a long way, and generosity from this community has been unbelievable. I'm sometimes at a loss for words on how great you guys are. I really, they're even when days are bad, doing the show, you too, Rich. I mean, this says a lot about you. Doing the show is uplifting for me. I enjoy it. It's like therapy. This is like therapy for me to talk to all you guys and kind of come, you know, just sometimes it's silly. Sometimes we're off wrestling. Sometimes it's about wrestling. But at the end of the day, it's a great distraction from reality right now, which I generally appreciate. And that's it, guys. We'll be back. We should. You know what we should do? Why don't we do a watch along, Rich?
We should. Like
yeah.
Right now?
No, but do you want to plan something? Maybe I don't know. Are you doing anything on Saturday?
I don't know yet, but I mean, like apart from not going anywhere, let's figure that out and let's do a fun one. And just hang out, maybe get some food, get some Grubhub. Yeah. Fortunately, thank you guys for your donations. They're not going to hang out at bars now. They're going to Uber Eats.
Yeah. yeah, they are.
But yeah, let's plan something. And I'll attest to that. You know, this is a highlight of my week. I know Andrew's generally very, 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 very sad during the week. And then I'll be like, yo, man, we're going to do the show. And he just sends me eggplant emojis.
That's it. That's all I do. And peaches. Peach emojis and eggplant emojis.
Yeah. That's the
blood. All right, guys. I'll see you next time. Take care.